What's up, world? Welcome to another edition of No Hooks here at WEAA 88.9 FM, Baltimore, Maryland. I'm Jared Ball. The man behind the glass is DJ Mike Nice, always making sure things sound as they're supposed to. And we're going to take a few segments here to get into what has been bubbling up online and in the political atmosphere. The recent piece written by Michael Eric Dyson, criticizing, condemning, in many ways, Professor Cornel West. And to do that, we know it's getting a lot of attention, including on these very airwaves. And so to do that, we put together a nice, I think, powerful roundtable that in many ways is going to have a perspective that has not been, I think, brought to the conversation just as yet, at least not here at WEAA. So to do that, first of all, my main man, in many ways a mentor of mine, someone I continue to be inspired by and look up to, Dr. Greg Carr, is the chair of African American Studies at Howard University. We welcome you to the show, Dr. Carr. Thank you very much.
Thank you, my comrade and big brother.
So we also have a wonderful writer whose work I've been following for quite a while now, and I think across multiple venues at this point, is Kirsten West Savali. Welcome to the program. Your piece just appeared in The Root, responding to Dyson's critique of West. Thank you for joining us. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
And someone that I must admit only just coming to know belatedly, apparently, to your work in part because of your response to this piece by Michael Eric Dyson, Ben Norton, who is a blogger and a writer, a freelance journalist, and can be found, I believe it is bennorton.com. Please correct that if I don't have that in front of me correctly, and welcome to the program.
Thanks a lot, and that's right. I'm glad to be here, and thanks for inviting me.
So, Dr. Carr, let me start with you. You know, one of the first as I've talked with you a number of times, the way I was introduced to you and your work was moderating a discussion between Cornel West and Dr. John Henry Clark, the late great Dr. John Henry Clark. As I will continue to say, in which I continued to map my political development as being able to, at the time, not even understand the questions being asked, and now at least being able to understand the questions, if not the answers. What is your response? Let me just get that, just broadly speaking. What is your response to the piece that Michael Eric Dyson has written, The Ghost of Cornel West?
Oh, brother, as a grad student at the time, they were probably just bad questions. I appreciate you being there. But one of the questions I asked, ironically, was while I held a copy of Leon Riesel's takedown of Cornel West, because he had just written The Failure of the Negro Intellectual in The New Republic. That was 1995. And I asked him, because Militia was critiquing him for being about a mile wide and an inch deep and so forth and so on. Here we come 20 years later. And this piece that Michael Eric, first of all, I appreciate Mr. Savali's article, well-written piece and thorough piece. I don't know that he did three drafts of it, though, sis. I don't know that who edited that piece, first of all. It seemed like kind of, you know, he critiqued Cornell for writing talk books. But that's basically what Brother Mike does, if you read any of his work. That having been said, Wieseltier critiqued the whole generation of black people, it seems to me, black thinkers, when he went on Cornel West 20 years ago. To me, that piece reads like a critique of not only Cornel West, but of Michael Eric Dyson and a lot of people in this moment who, you know, got a lot of lightweight stuff passing for thoughtful commentary these days. And you could switch out Cornel West's name and put Michael Eric Dyson's name in, and in some ways, many of those critiques would still ring true. But I really wonder, finally, if this is more about MSNBC and Barack Obama and the New Republic being like Fox, trying to get some black people to make it relevant after half their staff, including Wieseltier, walked out, or maybe even Hillary Clinton, and maybe they want to continue to be pets in the next administration. So this wasn't an accident.
Well, I got word, and I would have to double-check this, but I'm pretty sure it comes from a good source, that the co-editor of the piece, the brother who worked on the piece with Dyson for The New Republic, is a former staffer of Melissa Harris Perry. So I wouldn't be surprised, you know, that MSNBC piece is pretty strong. Kirsten West Savali, please tell us, why did you define Dyson's work as a hit job or a hit piece on Cornel West?
Because that's what it was. There was very little scholarship involved. And I felt as though he was using scholarly words to kind of disguise the vendetta that he has against Dr. West. And again, as I said in the piece, I've followed Dr. Dyson's work. I've been a fan of his work. This, however, just reeked of pettiness and vindictiveness and viciousness, and it was unnecessary for several reasons. One, because why are you bringing it up now? Professor West, as far as I know, this is old news. No, there's been no discussion about it. It's pretty much in the books. There are certain people who believe in this kind of domesticated version of Black liberation. Obama's in office. This is empowerment for them. Access to that power is supposed to trickle down to us, and it does not. So what bothered me the most was that he did not address any of Cornel West's criticisms of Obama.
Except for the refusal to make the announcement of his campaign on the Tavis Smiley roundtable. That was the only thing that Dyson said specifically as a critique from West of Obama. That was the only specific one that he mentions. But sorry for the interruption.
Right. But and then even those things, you're going back, you're pulling up the inauguration.
So, I tell you what, Kirsten, I'm sorry to interrupt again, but we're going to have to take a quick break. We're going to come back and start with you, pick up with you in the next segment here at No Hooks, part of WEAA's Hip Hop Chronicles, Baltimore, Maryland. The mighty WEAA, Mike Nice on the boards. I'm Jared Ball. We're going to come right back. Don't go anywhere. 8446-HIP-HOP, 8446-HIP-HOP, if you want to join the conversation. Peace, if you're willing to fight for it. Back in a minute.
Follow Hip Hop Chronicles and the No Hooks Squad on Twitter at No Hooks WEAA. That's No Hooks WEAA. And get in on the conversation.
I got to talk. I got to tell what I feel. I got to talk about my life as I see it.
Biggie. Yes, indeed. Welcome back to another edition of No Hooks, part of WEAA's Hip Hop Chronicles. Baltimore, Maryland, 88.9 FM. I'm Jared Ball. Mike Nice on the other side of the glass, making sure everything sounds like it's supposed to. And we're continuing our conversation about the recently published piece, The Ghosts of Cornel West, by Michael Eric Dyson. And to do that, we're joined on the phone by Dr. Greg Carr at Howard University, Kirsten West Savali of TheRoot.com, and Ben Norton of BenNorton.com, who we're going to turn to in just a moment, whose piece I thought also had a very interesting and, so far as I've seen, under-focused criticism of what Dyson has done here. But Kirsten West Savali, please continue where I had just interrupted you in talking about why you defined in your piece that what Dyson had done is a hit job.
And what I was saying when we left off was basically he went back to very personal, very things that had nothing to do with Dr. West's criticism of Obama. He did not mention the drone war that Obama has launched or expanded, rather. He didn't mention anything dealing with how he pathologizes the Black community. He mentioned none of it. He didn't mention, you know, his love affair with Wall Street or the banks. He didn't mention none of this. He didn't mention Palestine. He just talked about Anita Baker ticket. And, you know, he called me a mean name. It was really like a playground or an intellectual version of I know you are, but what am I? So I really felt as though, and again, I enjoy his work, but this was something different. This it was a lie. It was not scholarship. It was not a dissection of a career. It was him hitting back at someone who basically hurt his feelings.
Well, earlier on this very station, WEAA 88.9 FM, on the Mark Steiner Show, Michael Eric Dyson made two claims that I think speak to what our first two guests have brought up here. One, he claimed that that the timing of the piece was based on just the time it took to write it, that he had been working on it for about a year for the New Republic, and that he published it in the New Republic because there are no, as he claimed, Black national political magazines that could carry it. And that's why he chose the New Republic. I would, of course, suggest that it was probably that very few media outlets that are Black owned could afford his fee. And that had more to do with it than the New Republic just being the appropriate space for it. Because as Dr. Carr, as you mentioned, it's a perfect full circle here in terms of that publication getting at Dr. West. But Ben Norton, you also bring up something that I thought was also lacking in Dyson's piece, specifically that I saw that you wrote was West's, that is, support of the true left political positions in this country. And could you say a few words about that and anything else that you thought was important to put in your response to Dyson?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there are a few ways to see the article, and the way I wrote my response and my critique is from viewing the article essentially as a liberal attack on leftists. And Cornel West kind of, in general, gets a lot of the scorn of the liberal establishment for being a consistent morally consistent, politically consistent leftist. I mean, he stands up for the positions he believes in, which are fundamental moral positions. And when he does that and steps on the toes of the powerful, he gets thrown under the bus, as I said. So, I mean, I begin my piece quoting Asada Shakur in her autobiography. She has this great quote. She says, as far as I'm concerned, liberal is the most meaningless term word in the dictionary. And essentially, I just go through and look at how essentially, as has been mentioned, and as Pearson mentions in the piece, which I think is an amazing response, and I tweeted it last night, if you look at the article, there's essentially no engagement whatsoever with West politics. It is, as you said, it's a hit piece. I mean, it's a large ad hominem, a 10,000-word ad hominem, essentially. And it's largely about his scholarship and things like that. But it doesn't even engage with the political substance of his scholarship. And really, all it does is, you know, apply these incidents in life through anecdotes and things like that to try to slander him, and then use that slander and use those ad hominems in order to try to delegitimize radical critiques of the liberal establishment. So, I mean, as Kirsten mentioned, you can talk about Obama's support and expansion of the drone program. You can talk about his extrajudicial killing of even American citizens, including Anwar al-Awlaki. You can talk about, you know, his use of anti-democratic means to push through the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP, what's often called NAFTA on steroids. I mentioned all these. You talk about mass deportation of 2,000 Latino immigrants, you know, the McCarthyist crackdown on whistleblowers and stuff. And essentially, instead of engaging with any of these things, which Cornel West regularly brings up, and if anyone has ever listened to him speak, they know he mentions these things. Well, Dyson ignores all of them and instead just, you know, attacks his character. And, you know, and as Kirsten mentioned in her piece, while he was writing this, Cornel West was actually out on the streets getting arrested, involved, you know, marching in New York City with the Black Lives Matter movement and stuff. So essentially, I mean, my critique is looking at how, you know, you have an MSNBC analyst who's attacking one of the most prominent voices on the left in the anti-racist movement, in the anti-imperialist movement, and all these different movements. And, you know, instead of spending his time advancing the progressive causes he supposedly represents, he's attacking one of the leading voices, and that's incredibly problematic.
So what we're going to do now here at No Hooks, WEAA 88.9 FM, we're going to take another quick break, come back. We got to get at least one more segment in with Dr. Greg Carr, Kirsten West-Savali, and Ben Norton, because as you all can hear, this Dyson West piece is so deeply packed. And we got to come back because I have to ask about Dyson claiming earlier today on WEAA's airwaves that he has ethered Dr. West and that he is Muhammad Ali'd Dr. West a la George Foreman. We'll come back with that in just a moment here with our guests here. No Hooks, WEAA 88.9 FM. Back in a minute. Peace.
Follow Hip Hop Chronicles and the No Hooks Squad on Twitter at No Hooks WEAA. That's No Hooks WEAA. And get in on the conversation.
What's up, world? Back again here. No Hooks, WEAA 88.9 FM, part of the Hip Hop Chronicles. I'm Jared Ball. And behind the glass is always DJ Mike Nice, making sure everything sounds like it's supposed to. We're continuing our conversation with Dr. Greg Carr, Kirsten West-Savali of The Root, and Ben Norton of BenNorton.com about the Dyson West controversy, Michael Eric Dyson's critique of Cornel West and the response it has engendered. And earlier on these very airwaves, WEAA 88.9 FM on the Mark Steiner Show, Michael Eric Dyson, in response to him from sports writer Dave Zirin, who had drawn an analogy of the George Foreman Muhammad Ali fight, where he claimed that sort of a rope-a-dope, he didn't use that phrase, but he was claiming that Dyson was Foreman in that analogy. And West Ali, and Dyson corrected that and said, you know, that he loves brother David Zirin, and but he wanted to correct the analogy, and the correct position that he would have in that analogy would be that of Muhammad Ali, having let, and his point was that West has been given all this time for several years to take shots at Dyson and his friends and his colleagues without any response, and that this was the final response that, of course, to complete the analogy, would knock him out, would have left West knocked out. And then later, a caller in support of Dyson made the comparison that Dyson in this beef was Nas to West's Jay-Z, and that this piece written by Dyson was ether, and that he ethered Cornel West, and Dyson happily accepted that. You know, so I want to ask the three of you in this final segment, if we could just start with that. What would you expect? And I kind of want to fold into this. This question of, you know, Dyson is pinning his argument to the fact that he has been polite in his critiques of Obama, where West has been impolite in his critiques of Obama and the rest of Obama supporters. But then he's claiming in this instance to be the Muhammad Ali and the Nas ethering and knocking out Cornel West. I'm wondering what you all think of that analogy. And I'll start with you, Dr. Carr, and maybe what you think Dr. West's response would be, what it should be, what would be appropriate.
Well, at the risk of extending the hyper-masculinist discourse, and I appreciate you, Sister Savali, pointing that out at the beginning of Dyson's article, this hyper-masculinity, I'll invoke what Stanley Krauss said about Jack Johnson, that genius is the ability to make the difficult thing seem simple, and not the obvious, not the opposite. If Mike wants to compare himself to Muhammad Ali, he'd have to get out of his job for taking moral principle stands, like Ben Norton was talking about when it comes to people like, for that matter, Chomsky or Cornel West. But I think that's typical. I mean, it's kind of predictable. I'm like, really? He said that? But let's be clear. That's one of the reasons why I find it difficult to watch MSNBC. You know, using the five-syllable or the three-syllable word when the one-syllable word will do, that's performance. In some ways, it borders on minstrelsy. And some of that stuff I can't watch because when black folks get involved in it, it becomes almost like an entertainment factor to pull them in. I just think that's Mike performing. And I take it as seriously as I would take watching any other situation comedy.
Kirsten West Savali, what is your response to that? And what do you think should be the response, the appropriate response from Dr. West?
Facepalm. Honestly, when I hear that, the elitism in his tone, even throughout the article, this I'm an academic and he's not as rigorous as I am. In the comparison, the constant references to being a prophet and being a prize fighter. You know, this is basically escalated workplace beef that has a national platform because they're talking the loudest. And you're not a prize fighter, number one. Secondly, when we talk about Cornel West's response to this, I really don't think he needs to respond to this. I think what would bother them more is if he came back hard against him. 10,000 words and no response would be a killer. 10,000 words and no response, and just say, you know, when you're ready to talk about Obama's policies and not Anita Baker tickets, then we'll talk. Until then, I'm busy. He's on record saying everything that he needs to say, and they have not one legitimate critique. And another thing that I will say is this framing them all as victims when they've used an entire liberal establishment to viciously attack Cornel West. It's almost as if they are using white surrogates to do an argument for them that they are afraid to do themselves because they don't have one. And they are these white liberals who feel as though as long as we can support the black man in the White House, then we don't have to really worry about real black liberation or real black justice for black people because we support a black man in a white supremacist office. That's what's going on. No one can say you're lying, Dr. West. This is not what he did. No one. And so there's a huge difference between, let me just call him names versus, okay, of course, maybe him saying Melissa Harris-Perry is a fraud and a liar or Al Sharpton is a sellout. It's a little mean. You know, it hurts somebody's feelings. But what he's saying is grounded in a legitimate critique. You saying that he's a washed-up, has-been, self-aggrandizing, whatever else he said in this piece.
Claiming that he's a prophet.
Not true.
Saying that Cornel West thinks he's an actual prophet of the Lord.
You know, but he calls him a prophet.
That's what I'm saying.
He calls him a prophet. He referred to himself as a prophet in 2010. And the only thing that changed is because Dr. West called him out for backing away from his criticism of Obama when he had a seat at the table. That's the only thing that changed. So when you say to me that I didn't really entertain the criticisms of Dr. West until he talked about me, that's letting me know right there that your criticism is personal.
All right, look, we've got to take one more break. I'm getting the permission from our producer to take one more segment, so we're going to ask our gracious guests to hold on through one more. We're going to start with Ben when we come back. This is WEAA's Hip Hop Chronicles, No Hooks. I'm Jared Ball, Mike Nice, and the whole crew. We will be back in a minute. Don't go anywhere. Peace.
Follow Hip Hop Chronicles and the No Hook Squad on Twitter at No Hooks WEAA. That's No Hooks WEAA, and get in on the conversation.
I got to talk. I gotta tell what I feel. I gotta talk about my life as I see it.
Biggie. Yes, indeed. Back again here at No Hooks, WEAA's Hip Hop Chronicles. I'm Jared Ball. On the other side of the glass is my main man, DJ Mike Nice, making sure everything runs as it's supposed to. And joining us again for this extended conversation we're having about the Michael Eric Dyson attempted takedown of Cornel West is Dr. Greg Carr of Howard University, Chair of African American Studies, Kirsten West Savali of TheRoot.com, brilliant writer, and Ben Norton, freelance journalist and author himself, BenNorton.com. And Ben, let me just start with you to pick up where we were having this conversation in the last segment about the appropriate response as you see it from Cornel West. I have to admit, Kirsten, you made a really good point, but my initial response, maybe it is that this ridiculous manhood thing, was especially when they started making these comparisons to Ali and Foreman and Nas and Jay-Z. I'm like, man, Cornel West, I'm getting at his friends, I'm emailing his buddies, like, you gotta get his crew, he's gotta come back strong, he's gotta have a response, he's gotta, I don't know, Kirsten, you make a good point, but Ben, what do you think about all of that?
I mean, I agree with Kirsten. I think that if he doesn't respond, or if he kind of just, you know, he's asked about it and he just pretends like it's, you know, a minor issue and just kind of shrugs it off, I think that would be an ideal response. Because with something like this, again, there's so little substance in the critique that you shouldn't even merit, or doesn't even merit any kind of substantive response to it, because it's superficial. And if you treat it as if it's substantive, people will think it actually is. And also, there's one point that I wanted to make, and I think what's interesting is in his article and in some other subsequent interviews, Dyson has said that he is critical of Obama, but he criticizes West for being impolite and such. And I think that's, I mean, first of all, that's mendacious in a lot of ways, and it's misguiding. So yes, maybe Dyson might every once in a while criticize some of Obama's policies, but he's one of Obama's loudest cheerleaders. And, you know, just because someone, you know, every two times they say something positive, they say something negative, that doesn't mean that they're actually being critical in a constructive way. You can be critical of people in power and still serve their interests. And that's exactly what he has ended up doing. And I think as a classic example of this, you can look in 2012 on Democracy Now!, Dyson debated Glenn Ford, the executive editor of Black Agenda Report, and essentially was just a mouthpiece for the Obama administration. He just defended Obama the entire time while Ford criticized Obama. So, I mean, this is a well-documented history of essentially serving as a mouthpiece of the White House. And, you know, on MSNBC and such, you see that all the time. And I think they also, you know, he says that he's critical of Obama. But, I mean, if you look in my article, I have a picture of a screen capture of the White House visitor record.
Right, right.
And if you look, since 2010, Dyson has visited the White House on a personal trip at least 19 times. Like, this is someone who claims that he's very critical and things like that. Yet, in his piece, he talks throughout about how he's friends with Obama. He talks about anecdotes, you know, speaking with Obama. And we see that, you know, he's visited 19 times. This is someone who's thoroughly embedded within the establishment, within power. And, you know, he's not, he may claim that he challenges it sometimes, but he's obviously not doing so at the degree that's necessary.
No, absolutely. You know, Dr. Carr, if we can quickly go through the roundtable here and get some, we'll unfortunately have to be concluding comments for this conversation. What does this in the context of Black academic history in this country? It seems to me that there is room for a hostile disagreement without it being dismissed as just being a hater or as Dyson basically is trying to do with Cornel West. And I'm just wondering where this might fit into that tradition as you know. Understand it, and how should we respond to it going forward? I don't know. Yeah, how do you think we should interpret this as two giant Black intellectuals? Although I did think it was a good week for what I consider to be the shady intellectuals which I would include Dyson and Henry Louis Gates, who, you know, got caught with the whole Ben Affleck thing. We didn't, you know, that's another guy. So I thought it was a good week for that wing of the black intellectual tradition that does want to side with the establishment and condemn those on the, particularly of the what is considered the far left.
It doesn't even rise to a footnote. It won't be remembered. It's negligible. I mean, you back 19th century, you see T. Thomas Fortune, you see Martin Delaney and Douglas going back and forth sometimes. You see Ida Wells, of course, doing that. George Schuyler from the right. I mean, this Harold Cruz from 67, Christ and the International, this doesn't rise to anything. In fact, I think more, and this last thing I'll say, it's really more or less a commentary on the age we're in. Mm. If this is the level of scholarship we're talking about and discussion, regardless if it's university or the street, then it's more commentary on the age than anything else, but it won't be remembered.
You know, Kirsten, let me, and Kirsten, let me just ask you this real quick. Dyson made the point earlier today on that Steiner program that one of the problems that people who want to be supporters of West have is that they don't actually read his work, so they don't know him with the depth that Dyson does. But I felt the same thing about Dyson. When I bring up Dyson in my classroom, most of the students who have heard of him know of him from television. They haven't actually read his work, and I bring that up to make the point that it does seem that as you three have, I think, in different ways made the point already, that Dyson is using this as a straw argument to really differentiate who is and who is not a supporter of Obama, as opposed to, as you've all noted, addressing the actual concerns and the critiques. And it goes to this issue that I think where I would agree with Dyson that he and West collectively are not read in the sort of the broader society at the levels that they are known for their public statements or public speeches or public appearances. So I'm wondering if you have a response to that or any concluding comment you would want to make just very quickly.
Well, I think when he makes that point, it actually undergirds the issue of how Dr. West's scholarship or his public scholarship has changed. So when he talks about things like academic rigor, these are people in the street. This is blood being spilled. He's in the street. He's talking the language. He's speaking the language of people. He's meeting people where they are. And he's still doing it with legitimate critiques of the Obama presidency. And people can understand that. They can feel him, as opposed to this kind of ivory tower discussion of this long esoteric language that he's saying that he's not using anymore. So if his problem is people aren't reading him or people aren't listening to him or not understanding him, I don't really understand that critique. You know, I don't understand what he would expect of a nation of people who are at war. Are you saying you're upset because they're not in the classroom? Are you saying that they don't really understand what you're saying? Because I understand what he's saying. But Cornel West backs up his talk. Mm-hmm. Every time you see Dr. West, he backs it up. You know, whether it's Clinton, whether it's Bush, whether it's Obama, his critiques have not changed. Nothing has changed about him. So that's my issue with the whole thing. If you're going to criticize someone, criticize them on substance. Don't criticize them because they hurt your feelings. Don't criticize them and try to tone police someone because they're not being nice enough to you.
Unfortunately, to the three of you, I have to beg your forgiveness and let that be the last word. Ben Norton, I appreciate you coming on. BenNorton.com for more information and his work. Dr. Greg Carr at Howard University. He's everywhere. Check him out at Africana Carr on Twitter. And Kirsten West Savali, TheRoot.com. Thank you very much to the three of you for joining us here at No Hooks, part of WEAA's Hip Hop Chronicles. 88.9 FM. We're going to continue the conversation. You out there listening, if you want to join it, give us a call. 844-6-HIP-HOP. 844-6-HIP-HOP is the number. Let us hear from you. Thanks again to our guests, to Mike Nice behind the glass, to the whole Hip Hop Chronicles crew. I'm Jared Ball. Peace if you're willing to fight for it. As Fred Hampton used to say, we'll catch you in the whirlwind. Peace.